Hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Megan Melody from Tampa General Hospital Cancer Institute, and I'm here with our new episode of SoHo Insider Podcast with Professor Kate Swinarski, and she's going to be talking to us about some new updates and presentations at SoHo UK. Dr. Swinarski, or Professor Swinarski, would you please like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's very nice to be here. So I'm Kate Swinarski. I work at University College Hospital in London, and I'm really delighted to be involved in the first SoHo meeting in London. So that's being held on the 3rd and 4th of March. And I'm really excited that I have the opportunity to talk about both CNS lymphoma and T-cell lymphoma.
Thank you. We're really excited to have you both at the UK meeting and also here on the podcast today. So you're actually presenting a few things at the meeting, but one of the things I was most excited to see is that you're presenting some updates on the Marietta study. And so I was just wondering if you could talk our listeners through what the Marietta study is and what your research is going to be showing at the meeting this month.
Yeah, thank you so much. So this was the largest prospective study in secondary CNS lymphoma, and it actually recruited patients of all three clinical scenarios, so all three modes of presentation, both de novo, as well as isolated and synchronous relapse. It was a study that was led by Andres Ferreri in Italy. I led it in the UK, and we also worked with other colleagues in Europe. It was 75 patients up to the age of 70, and included patients with a performance score up to 3. And we were able to update our data with 7-year follow-up at the ICL meeting a few months ago. And here what was helpful was to say that there is definitely a proportion of patients that will be cured. So those with de novo presentation treated with this really quite intense chemoimmunotherapy regimen, 3 courses of Matrix, followed by 3 courses of R-ICE with the aim of a thyrotype autograft, and allowing patients with de novo disease with a lot of systemic disease to have 1 or 2 courses of R-CHOP first. But there you could see 55% of patients were alive and disease-free at 7 years. We were able to also identify that those with isolated secondary CNS lymphoma, the 7-year survival was 33%, but really also highlighted an area of unmet need. Those with synchronous secondary CNS lymphoma, so both CNS and systemic disease after either R-CHOP or during R-CHOP, a survival at 7 years of only 11%. Now, importantly, this study completed accrual in August 2018, which was prior to the introduction of CAR T-cell therapy. And I think that what I would feel optimistic with emerging therapies that we can now increasingly access is that data in all of these scenarios, I would hope that the 7-year outcome will be better in future prospective studies.
That was so eloquently put, and I really appreciate you explaining your research and really exciting outcomes. I mean, truthfully, for secondary CNS lymphoma, those results are very impressive, but I do agree it also does highlight unmet need, a patient population where we're still struggling. I think you've made the transition beautifully for us. I was actually going to ask on your thoughts on the new data, that's been presented, and now we have a little bit of longer term follow up for CAR T and secondary CNS lymphoma, and we have this new approval for CAR T cell therapy for primary CNS lymphoma. What are your thoughts on CAR T cell therapy and the impact it's having in CNS lymphoma?
Yeah, I think really helpful to highlight that, you know, the potentially new access in primary CNS lymphoma, as informed by the prospective study that was led both by Karen Jacobson and Lakshmi Nayak. So that's very exciting data. I think if I just focus purely on secondary CNS lymphoma, I think the reality is there's sort of data that is sort of different in terms of efficacy. I think we are not absolutely clear on which patients will most gain from this therapy. The question really is at the time of infusion, maybe in response to bridging, are they in complete remission or partial remission? I think some of the data is showing that if patients have progressive disease, very disappointing outcomes, but certainly there appears to be durable responses in a proportion of patients. In the UK, for patients with isolated secondary CNS lymphoma, we do focus on a chemoimmunotherapy approach, aiming for a thyrotype autograft, almost seeing this as a sort of compartment, sort of lack of access to the chemoimmunotherapy used first line, while those with synchronous disease, as we know from early relapse refractory systemic disease, how helpful it is to be able to access CAR T cell therapy for this group of patients. So certainly in the UK, we can access CAR T for those with synchronous relapse or the non-chemosensitive isolated relapses. That again is a modality. And the French produced some very exciting data at ASH, but there's also data from the CIBMTR as well as other US centers, and really helpful in terms of informing our conversations with patients.
Absolutely. And I think you did an excellent job at sort of highlighting some of our amazing, prospective clinical trials. I obviously feel very passionately about real world data. And so I think you have done an amazing job at with some of your colleagues across the globe and highlighting some real world data specifically for patients, I believe, in Canada, America, and the UK in treatment for secondary CNS lymphoma. Could you talk a little bit about your data in real world evidence for secondary CNS lymphoma?
Yeah, well, thank you for letting me discuss it, because I do find that really, it's been very helpful data for us. As I'd mentioned, the largest prospective study only included 75 patients, and that's all three modes of presentation. So what was really helpful about this data was that it was nearly 1,200 patients. My colleague, Diva Baggio, who is working with me, worked with Juan Alderuccio, who led that study in the US with us, and it's been really informative. There are a number of different conclusions. I think what it reinforces is that the aim is certainly for those with chemosensitive disease, certainly de novo isolated CNS relapse, is chemosensitive disease, we're aiming for a thyrotype autograft. I think there was definitely difference in practice in the UK, as in other parts of Europe. We do tend to adopt the Marietta approach, but we're very thoughtful about how we dose rationalize matrix, acknowledging that people who have a poor performance score or any sort of infectious toxicity, we reduce the cytarabin doses to make sure to improve tolerability. There is some data from the US about using Mr. Chop, and certainly whether it's with Polar R-chip, because we know that there's some evidence that polatuzumab does actually access through the blood-brain barrier. So we're using that with high-dose methotrexate. I think one of the interesting things was this question about whether we should be incorporating intrathecals. And I think there's difference in both our prospective Marietta study and our retrospective data, but the numbers are relatively small. And I think one thing it tells me is that I feel reluctant to de-escalate therapy and remove them from the Marietta regimen where it's included, because there's still a failure of chemo refractoriness during induction therapy. So I find it hard to de-escalate therapy. And certainly concurrent leptomeningeal disease is a poor prognostic factor. So those, and even with CAR T cell therapy, there's some evidence that response to CAR T appears to be less good in those who have received CAR T.
Thank you so much. This has been such a comprehensive view of both secondary CNS lymphoma and the management, both in the UK, but also globally. I really think this will be beneficial for our listeners. I do want to transition, kind of make a big leap, but I think something else is very impressive, your research portfolio that you're presenting at SOHO UK, is your data on the peripheral T-cell lymphoma and the TERZO study. Would you be able to speak a little bit more on the findings of this study?
I mean, I think one of the things we to think about are these areas of unmet need. And when I think about patients, I may meet somebody with CNS lymphoma and they can be really sick. And yet in primary CNS lymphoma, I think that there may be a 70% of those patients will be alive at 7 years. And that's not true for the majority of patients with T-cell lymphoma. You may meet them first in the outpatient setting, but the reality, other than a few entities such as ALK-positive ALCL, the majority of patients will relapse. And unfortunately, the overall survival is not that different to the progression-free survival, because our treatment options for patients when they relapse remain disappointing. I think we have to say, in the relapse setting presently, allografting remains a consolidation strategy that we mustn't ignore, and aiming for consolidation. But we know in large trial data, the ROCHOP study that was, hundreds of patients, an international study, only 6% of patients got to allograft and more than half the patients relapsed. So the TERZO study, I feel very excited to be involved in. I lead it in the UK, but I'm also, it's an international study. And it's a study where it's biologically focused on patients with T follicular. We know from the French pathology data, that's about 40% of patients with T cell lymphoma. And that's offering, it's beyond one line of therapy in the relapsed refractory space for patients with T follicular, a randomized study of duvelisib, so a PI3 kinase versus standard of care, which is a gemcitabine-based regimen or bendamustine. So, you know, we're delighting the UK to recruit to that. And it's really helpful for our patients to have access to agents, because other than brentuximab, within Europe, our patients with T-cell lymphoma do not have access to agents in the relapsed refractory setting.
That's very helpful. And so this company is open to accrual, and it's been open for how long in the UK?
It's been open for less than a year. It's recruited almost 50% internationally. And there are, you know, within it, it is fortunately an international study. So I think it really is fantastic for both being biologically directed, because it's focused on T follicular, but aiming and you know, aiming for both durable responses, but of course also thinking even potentially as a bridge to allograft.
Absolutely. And we've just been so fortunate in the field of lymphoma in the past decade with all of these emerging therapies. But I think we just haven't seen that advancement so far in the field of T-cell lymphoma. And so studies like this are really encouraging for our patients. Like you said, I think right now treatment is limited for patients. And so, you know, really expanding access to these novel therapies and trying to shift the paradigm of treatment is important. And so this work is really impressive. I'm really excited to see the readout of this study when it happens, because I would really love for some alternative therapies to offer to my patients. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us here at SOHO Insider. We are so delighted to have you, and we are so looking forward to your presentations at SOHO UK. And we just cannot thank you enough for presenting your research today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to the SOHO meeting next week.